So I just want to go back to the chip thing a little bit. You said that they used anti-inflammatories. What type of anti-inflammatories? And do you think this is going to come into a clinical trial?
The first part of the question is, what did they use? They used an anti-TNF one and an anti-CSF, anti-MCSF or CSF3R antibody, I believe. Again, this is just in mice. I mean, personally, I don't think it's appropriate to give somebody with, even do a clinical trial with a powerful anti-inflammatory like etanercept for, which is used in rheumatoid arthritis and inflammatory bowel disease for people with, who are well to try to prevent them from getting either heart disease or AML or MDS. But maybe there's a less potent anti-inflammatory that might be worth a clinical trial. But again, it's going to take a long time and a lot of patience to prove this one way or the other. But the whole notion about this is very interesting because another more practical aspect of this is, what do you do with a patient who has frank AML and you give them anti-leukemic chemotherapy and, oh, they look great. They're in remission, their counts are good. But you do one of these next generation sequencing tests on their bone marrow or their blood and you find some of these so-called CHIP mutations. Does that mean we've reverted them to their CHIP state? Does that mean they're at risk for relapse? There's a lot of unanswered questions there, but the more information we get, sometimes the more confused we get.
Can you talk a little bit more about actually what CHIP mutations are, how often they are seen, and right now, what the clinical relevance is? One thing that I've heard people talking about is patients are going to get chemotherapy, for example, adjuvant therapy of breast cancer, somehow changing the way you manage those patients.
Well, that's a really huge and important epidemiological issue you bring up. So the first thing is, what are CHIP mutations? So if you go on the street and you take blood from people above age 40, and you compare and you just do next generation sequences on the blood, which are the blood cells obviously come from the bone marrow. You don't actually have to do a bone marrow test, which is nice. Just take the blood, make DNA, look for mutations. If you look at people over age 70, 10%, 1 in 10, who are seemingly completely normal, they have normal blood counts, they feel fine, they have a mutation in up to 10% of their blood cells. And the mutations can be in a number of genes, but the most common two are the DTA genes, DNMT3A, TET2, and ASXL1. There's a bunch of other ones, but those are the same genes that occur in people with MDS and AML, and these are people that are walking around. So an easy thought would be, oh, geez, these people are all at risk for AML or MDS. Well, they're not all going to get AML or MDS, but people who have those are at higher risk than people who don't have those. So that comes to the data that I was talking about, the plenary session, about when you can do anything about that scenario to either prevent them from getting heart disease or prevent them from getting MDS or AML. They've got a mutation. What do we do now? Well, the major academic centers like MD Anderson, Memorial Sloan Kettering, and Dana-Farber all have so-called CHIP clinics. Ours is led by David Steensman to try to understand what this really means. Anyway, but the issue you talked about is a huge one, and there's research going on that. Unfortunately, a sizable minority of patients getting treated for solid tumors, let's say breast cancer, come down with MDS and AML a few years after they're done with their breast cancer therapy, which is horrible. It's horrible because they have to deal with a second cancer. It's horrible because these AMLs tend to be resistant. They're enriched for P53 mutations. And so obviously the question that you're asking is a key one. It's a subject of really important research is, let's say a breast cancer patient is a close call about whether they should get adjuvant chemotherapy. Should you look for these mutations? And if they have them, maybe they shouldn't get the chemotherapy if it's a close call. I mean, that is not current practice, but it's a fascinating thing to think about for the future. We, meaning our leukemia group scientists like Ben Ebert, who actually described CHIP in a very important New England Journal of Medicine paper just a few years ago. So this is a field that's been exploding. Anyway, he's collaborating with our breast cancer colleagues to measure people's mutations before and after chemotherapy for breast cancer so we can understand more about this. We've done the same thing with people who are getting autologous transplants for lymphomas. And my colleagues like Chris Gibson and Ben and Coleman Lindsley have found that if you have clonal hematopoiesis before your autologous transplant, you're at higher risk to get MDS or AML down the road after that. You know, this is something I talked about years ago, or I described years ago before all we had was cytogenetics. So I think this whole notion of how we perturb the immune system in general and the bone marrow microenvironment specifically with chemotherapy is a very important one to figure out.